All right, good morning, everyone. We'll continue with our media availabilities here at Daytona International Speedway this morning. We are now joined by the Wood Brothers Racing family, who are serving as our honorary starters for today's 67th running of the Daytona 500. To my left on stage, we have Eddie Wood, Len Wood, John Wood, Kevin Wood, and Jordan Wood Hicks. Wood Brothers Racing is celebrating their 75th anniversary in NASCAR this season and secured their 100th career NASCAR Cup Series win last August right here in Daytona, with Harrison Burton driving the famed number 21 car to victory lane during the Coke Zero Sugar 400. As the Wood Brothers celebrate their 75th anniversary season, there will be special paint schemes, merchandise, digital content, and more to honor their accomplishments. Starting with Eddie and moving down the line, talk about what it means to be named the honorary starters for the Daytona 500 and the emotions you're feeling today.
Well, when we first heard about it, the first thing went through my mind, well, who's going to do it? Well, then they kind of nominated me because I was the oldest. But then the next thing you think about, and I'm sure if any of you guys in here were doing it, the first thing you'd think about was, I sure hope I don't drop it. But I always thought that it would have a loop on it, you know, go around your wrist, but it doesn't. Our dad did it back in, I think, 15 years ago. I think when McMurray won the race in 2010, and that's what he was expecting. So I just hope I don't mess it up. Because they say, you know, I've always, you know, I've watched a lot of starts, but they do this figure eight thing. I don't know whether you go clockwise with it or you go, you know, I don't know which way you do it, but I was watching. Just happened to watch the start of the it was a caution flag last night, and they were, you know, when they threw it, they was doing something with their hand that looked like it was alive. I don't think I can do that, so hopefully I'll get through it.
Len, your thoughts?
I guess it was Thursday morning. Frank Kelleher sent a message to Eddie and John and I, and like, did we have time to meet? Like, when? Like, 30 minutes. So I drove over here, and Eddie was still in Charlotte. And John was on his way down. So when he presented the idea to us, I was telling him behind the scenes, Eddie, he would be the right one. So, you know, we're just honored to do this. Like I said, our dad and Uncle Leonard did it 15 years ago when we were actually standing behind them. So I don't know how it's going to play out up there, but for Eddie and I and then our kids right behind us, you know, it's like bringing up the past again.
John, your thoughts?
Everything I say, I have a way of saying one thing and it comes out backwards. So I preface with that. But this is special to me because I feel like these two have spent so much time in the background pushing their dad and their uncle to be at the front and get the recognition and the attention. And so this one's special for them. It's special for me for them. I think it's neat that they finally get this recognition and honor that they deserve and have deserved all along.
Kevin, your thoughts?
I mean, for me, it's like, what have we done yet to get this honor? But like John said, it's for them. We're just racers. And then to see this come full circle, it's humbling.
So I was with Dad and Len, Eddie. I call him Dad, and people look at me like, which one? So I was with them. Whenever my grandfather, Pa, and Leonard did this 15 years ago, and it was one of the coolest experiences that I've ever been a part of. And so whenever they told us that we were doing it, I was just, it's really cool to be able now not to only see, to have seen and been a part of my grandfather doing it 15 years ago, and to now be a part of watching my dad wave the flag and land with him, and then my brother being president. It just, it's a lot's happened in 15 years, and I'm glad to see that we're where we're at. So,
best part of this is about this first lap, as they complete the first lap when they come by. Yeah. I mean, that's the unbelievable part.
Yeah, you kind of realize, like when you're a kid growing up, or us, we never drove a car. John did, yeah. Kevin did. We never drove. But to realize and see how fast they go by when they go under you, you realize pretty quick, I'm glad I'm not a race car driver.
It was definitely a major adrenaline rush. And then I was telling John, when he told me, I was like, oh, my gosh, it's so cool. It's so cool. And then it hit me. I said, well, wait a minute. You've driven in the Daytona 500. Like, you've done this before, so it might not be as cool to you to see, but it was. It was that moment where they come by, and I guess we've grown up. This is my 38th Daytona 500. We grew up as babies coming here and going through that tunnel, going through.
Don't let her act like we paid attention, because we
didn't. No, we didn't, but it was, you know, we
came
grew
to play
up.
And
we did.
Fart around.
Fantastic. We'll go ahead and open it up to questions. If you have a question, please raise your hand, and we'll get a wireless microphone to you. Bruce?
Bruce Meyer with Forbes. Len and Eddie, when you think about how this whole thing started with a shade tree in Stuart, Virginia, and how here it is 75 years later, you're still in the sport, but from the humble beginnings, I mean, what goes through your mind when you think of that?
Yeah, you just, it's hard to realize. I mean, it's hard to put it into words. That tree you're talking about is still there. It's probably a 175-200-year-old tree. We go. It's 10 miles from where we live, and we go over there quite often. The home place is still there. A lady bought it a few years back, and she redid the whole house, but the outside of it looks just like it did when I was a kid. But just to still be here, and, you know, we've had so many close calls to not be here through the, you know, even before us, you know, with my dad and Leonard and his brothers, it was a lot of close calls that things didn't quite work out, but they did. And most of the time, the reason they worked out was Ford Motor Company. And, you know, I can't say that enough, just the friends and the Ford family and all the people at Ford Motor Company have, and I'm talking about through the 50s, all the way up to now, just, you know, they're the reason we're here. And NASCAR, I mean, NASCAR has really been good to us, and everything we about, we owe to NASCAR and Ford Motor Company, as simple as that.
Eddie kind of covered it there, but like I say, there was a number of times one decision a different way goes back to the 50s, and Daddy hadn't won a race one year because some of the drivers complained he was a little aggressive, and, you know, so he backed off a little bit because he needed to put food on the table. And so at some point, at Ford, it was a deal where if you didn't win a race last year, you didn't follow through the next year. And so that was tough on Dad, and he goes and wins a race from, was it Richmond or Charlotte Fairgrounds? Charlotte Fairgrounds, I think it was.
Peter DiPaolo, yeah. Which was the pre-Holman Moody. Some of you may know that or not. Mike probably does. And Al. But he asked our dad if he needed anything, you know, because he was running really well, but he hadn't won a race. And he said, yeah, I need a set of tires. I think he rolled him out 6 tires, and he went to Richmond, won the race, and somewhere else and won a race. And that just fixed it right there.
Yeah, he got a call back from DiPaolo, you're back on a deal.
And, you know, just going, the fact that you have such a close relationship with Edsel, it just almost seems like he's part of the family now. And just how important has that been to continuing not only your legacy, but the Ford Motorsports legacy going all the way back?
Yeah, I mean, we just left Edsel just 5 minutes ago. And had dinner with him last night, been with him a lot this week. And
snuck him in the parking lot this morning.
Yes, and LeJohn snuck him in the
He didn't have the right parking pass.
He didn't have the right pass. The relationship there goes beyond racing. You know, Edsel's like me. He's about the same age as me. We both, you know, got grandkids now. And sometimes we talk about racing, sometimes we don't. A lot of times it's with grandkids and just life in general. We talk almost weekly, and that family, you know, that family plus all the management that's there, Mr. Jim Farley and Mark Rushbrook, all those guys that are in place now, and it's been guys before them, but it seems like everyone at Ford always looks after us. Like I said, like Leon said, there's so many decisions that have been made. If it went the other way, we wouldn't be here. And it was that close on just a lot of things. And you really didn't think about them. You just felt like you did what was right and it would work out, and most of the time it does.
We'll go to Jacob.
Jacob Zillman, Race Face Digital. To Eddie, when you guys think about this moment, but you think about also what's ahead this year, what did you guys see going through the end of last year and the winter that makes you believe that Josh Berry can be the next guy, so to speak, for the Wood Brothers and for your family?
Well, you know, we'd struggled a little bit, and then, you know, for the last couple of years, and then things started to turn around, and then, you know, Harrison won the race here in August, and that just changed everything. Like, winning fixes a lot of things. I mean, you guys know that, and it's not just racing. In any sport, race, you know, winning fixes a lot of problems quickly. So with Josh coming on board, you know, we had a really great race at Bowman Gray, which was really special to us because our dad raced there. But he just seemed like he fits us. You know, his background started in short tracks, and, you know, he'll be in year two this year in a cup car. So everything, like, he had a great race Thursday night. I was really, really proud of him, the way he led some of it. And then he got a little bit loose one time, and he just moved out of the way. And rather than try to fight his way back, and, you know, and he could have crashed, he was careful, and he felt the car out. He'd back up, he'd go forward, and he'd get back in line, just feeling the car out for today. Because at the end of the day, today's all that matters. And but we're really looking forward to this year.
And Jordan, everybody kind of wonders, you know, is the Wood family legacy ever going to end? And I know if Giselle's any indication, it's not going to be anytime soon. What's it meant to see her kind of begin to find her way and continue to show the interest in what's been such a family legacy?
That was not my choice. I pushed dance, and here we are. But she just has a passion for it. It wasn't really kind of anything. We honestly didn't even think about the generational side of it. It was just kind of, we thought she'd be good, or I didn't. My husband did. It's not that I didn't think she'd be good. I grew up in it, and don't really want to see my daughter going 45 miles per hour around Millbridge Raceway. But, you know, she just loves it, and I guess it's just the – you know, it's the passion that she has for it that it's just where we're, it's the path that she's, we don't care, whatever she wants to do. But it's really cool. It's special. I know my grandmother, when she was alive, one of the last text messages I have with her was about Giselle Racing. So that was kind of special. And we'll see where it goes. But
we'll go to Al, then Dave.
Yeah, for Eddie and Lynn, two questions. First of all, how many years did your father come down here consecutively? The second question is, you won with Tiny, you won with AJ, you won with Pearson, you won with Trevor. Which of those four wins means the most to your family?
You left somebody out. We got five wins. Five Daytona 500, is that what Kale. You're speaking of?
Kale Yarbrough.
Kale? Was Kale one of them?
We got to work with Al here a minute now.
two questions. That's Wolfgang.
Exactly. Yeah, Wolfgang always asks two questions.
Which one of those five remains the most significant?
Probably the Pearson Petty finish, the wreck at the end of the race, which Eddie was on the radio with him. You explain
that. Yeah, I was on the radio with David that day, so that's probably my most memorable race because of the way it played out. Those two had raced all day with each other, and it was just kind of a strategy game with those guys. And this was in the days of the slingshot. With pack racing the way it is now, you don't really see that, but one car could drop back six or eight car lengths and just make a run, and there was no stopping him. You know, the car in front of you was just so wide, and the track was plenty wide, so you was gonna pass him, but that race was probably the most important to me, just because I was on the radio with David and the, I mean, some of you guys in here knew David and how cool he was, and I mean, like, he's Steve McQueen kind of cool, that kind of cool. And during the wreck, or when he spun out, he and Richard spun, his voice never changed. It never went up, never went down, never was excited, never was panic. He just said, "Where's Richard?" And I said, "He's stuck in the grass." I was nuts. But he said, "I'm coming." And he just drove right across right across that grass, won the race. But you asked the other question, how many times Dad come down? I think it was 71 in a row.
Starting around 1947 to come watch his hero, Curtis Turner, drive on the beach. And then Daddy, he started driving in 1950, but his first race on the beach was 53. And he won the last three sportsman races on the beach. That would have been 56, 7, and 8, because we came to the – actually, Daddy raced here the first year, 59, of the new Speedway, because it was half convertibles and half hardtops. And I think that's where the twin qualifiers come from. One race was hardtops, one race was convertibles. It didn't take but one race to figure out they didn't need to mix those cars because it was so much difference in the speed. But the format remained.
Before we continue with questions down here, do we have any questions in the press box? All right, we'll go to Dave.
Dave Moody from MRN and SiriusXM over here on your right, but in the obstructive view seating. When you won that race last year, folks had to take a number in victory lane between all the other drivers and crew chiefs and team owners and sponsor people and manufacturer people. Did it occur to you at that time just how unusual that was? And if so, how did it make you feel that knowing the level of esteem that in which you're held in that garage?
John can answer that. He was here.
That's a tough one to answer because in the moment you're not really paying attention, but when you mention it that way and you think back, Ryan Blaney was probably the very first one with toting a case of beer, by the way. But it was extraordinary. It made me think of, or makes me think of, when Dale Earnhardt won. And everybody, like, he's going down pit road and everybody goes out to, it was that kind of moment, like, in a modern way. What these two have done for this sport, it's pretty remarkable just to be a part of, a small part of, and to think about it. And, you know, I know we're all nervous that we don't have the wherewithal and ability to keep this business going. I hope we do, but they do it because they're good people and not because they're business savants or whatever it is. They're just good, honest people. And I think that's where we're probably screwed. But
we need to work on that.
But I mean, it's a neat thing to be a part of. And the level of respect that they command is something.
And we'll take our last question over here with Michael.
Michael Massey, Front Stretch. First off, wasn't one of you on the drive down here a couple of years ago, you had the car in the wrong gear, it kept running out of gas?
That sounds like you.
It was me. I'd had heart surgery in December, and this was no February, and I drove down here by myself. I had a little, one of those, was it H? It was an ST. It was the little four. What was that thing called? Was it Edge? Anyway, it was a little four-cylinder, souped-up four-cylinder, and it didn't have a huge gas tank in it. And I kept coming, you know, I was coming down the road by myself, and all of a sudden I'm out of gas. And I did it twice. That was what was stupid. I ran it out like, you know,
Like I said, we made it because they're good people, not because we're super intelligent.
And I was pretty stupid about that. And the thing that saved me when I got off the ramp, I'd already knocked it out of gear, and I rolled to the gas pump twice. And That was pretty bad.
I'm guessing you knew about that because John tweeted it from the Wood Brothers account.
I remember.
I feel like sad. I remember you tweeting something like that.
I remember hearing it a few years ago.
It was an escort. That's what it was. It was an Escort ST, wasn't it? Wasn't the Fiesta? It was one above that. A little red. It was actually my wife's car, and I was.
Oh, you talking about her car? Okay,
yeah. I wasn't even supposed to be driving.
Oh, that's a Focus.
It's Focus, a Focus. Yeah. That's what it was.
Sweet little car.
Yeah, it was a Focus. Focus ST, and it. I mean, it would run like.
You drove that thing down here.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
I don't know. You're probably hoping it didn't break down from your past experiences.
Like I said, I'd had heart surgery, so I wasn't supposed to be even doing that 2 months later. And we'd rented a condo over on the beach. And the first night I was there, wasn't nobody there but me and Lynn that had it was in another condo. And they had a hot tub with the steam, how they do. So I go out there and get in that thing. And the steam, I guess it had chlorine in it, a lot of chlorine in it, gave me bronchitis, and I was sick for a month after I got done with that. So I had a pretty stupid month.
Good people, like I said, good people.
And then the Wood Brothers are known for, one of the things you're known for is revolutionizing the pit stop. And I was just wondering what you guys thought about and what Leonard thinks about, seeing like the 8-second, 9-second pit stops these days.
It's just amazing. I was talking about it to Mr. Ford a few minutes ago. Like a lot of Sundays we fly with our pit crew and the other crews, and the guys are so big now. Like when I changed tires, he changed tires. You just was the guy. Whatever you did on the car didn't matter. Depending on what size you were, if you're a big guy, you was a jack man or the gas man. And, we weren't very big, so we were tire changers. But now, it's for real. These guys are athletes. And it's just amazing the training and stuff they go through. Because the pit stop part of it, is personal to us just because we did it. But the way they do it now, I tell you what really amazes me. Is if you're looking on the left side of the car, you sit on that side of the wall, they change the lefts, the jack man will put either the front or the rear, place it for the guy, the changer, each one does it. He never looks back to see if they're done. As soon as he places a tire, he hits the handle and they're gone. And they don't make very many mistakes. I mean, you know that. I mean, it goes off, pretty flawless with everyone. I mean, occasionally somebody has a problem, but that part is what amazes me, is the trust that the jack man has in the changer, knowing he's going to get it done. And I mean, we kind of was the guys that run some left side tires off at Darlington one time. So we've been there. He was the one who took them off. I was the one that said we were going to change four, and then we got all messed up.
All right, well, thank you all.
We recovered.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
We recovered from that.
Thank you all so much for coming in and spending some time with us today. Good luck. We're going to ask you to stay on stage real quick for a quick picture, but thanks again.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, everybody. Thank all you guys for putting up with us.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll move it. We can move the chairs out of the way. We'll just pull these couple up. We'll just pull these couple chairs out.
We're going to go around back. Yep. There you go.
I already got my...